Azok jó a szobán, ahol voltatok? Azért jött ide vissza. And personally, such as the four Kumaras and the topmost Gyani Shukadeva Goswami could only begin new and more exalted lives when they completely renounced their previous faiths and accepted the path of bhakti. By the strength of their new exalted lives, they achieved the status of Acharyas. Regarding Pratibhimba Bhakti Avas, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Vimukta Kilatar Sheja. How is it possible for the rare Bhagavat Rati, or intense attachment for Bhagavan in the stage of Bhava, to appear in the hearts of those desiring material sense gratification and impersonal liberation when such Rati is being eagerly sought after by liberated souls who have completely renounced all varieties of material desires and not easily granted by Sri Krishna to those engaged in his exclusive bhajan? It is imperative to mention here that those who consider the pleasures derived from illicit association with women and taking intoxication to be Bhagavad Rati are themselves polluted and may pollute others also. New category, Chai Bhakti Abhas. It is very important for a sadhaka to understand Chai Bhakti Abhas. Unlike Pratibhimba Bhakti Abhas, Chai Bhakti Abhas is not crooked and shrewd. It has simplicity and virtue. Srila Rupa Goswami has written as follows regarding Chai Bhakti Abhas. Kshudra Kotuhalamai Chanchala Shatupi Hosu Vash. There are a few similarities between Chai Bhakti Abhas and Shuddha Bhakti. But by nature, the practitioner of Chai Bhakti Abhas feels some slight curiosity concerning what fruit will be attained by following this process. His mind is restless, and some of his material distress is eradicated. Chai Bhakti Abhas is sometimes visible even within a person bereft of spiritual knowledge, just by the influence of their having come into contact with the times, places, and devotees that are related to Bhagavan. Whether one is a Panchopashika or a Sampradayika, coming in a bona fide Sampradaya, one cannot attain the stage of Chai Bhakti Abhas without some special good fortune having arisen within him, because upon the shadow of above arising just once, in whatever minute degree it may be, it will certainly grow and result in progressive benefit for the sadhaka. Upon obtaining the mercy of a pure Vaishnava, Bhava Bhas can suddenly progress up to the stage of Bhava. But on the other hand, if one commits offenses at the feet of pure Vaishnavas, even the topmost Bhava Bhas gradually deteriorates, just like the gradual waning of the moon in Krishna Paksha, the dark fortnight of the lunar month. Chai Bhakti Abhas is of two types: Swarupa, Jnana Bhava, Janita Bhakti Abhas, or Bhakti Abhas, which appears in the absence of knowledge of one's inherent identity, and two, Bhakti Udipaka Vastu Shakti Janita Bhakti Abhas, or Bhakti Abhas, in which the stimulation for Bhakti is caused by the influence of having come in contact with objects such as time, place, and circumstance which are related to Bhagavan. The Swarup Gyan, this is the first one. The Swarup Gyan, or intrinsic knowledge concerning the sadhaka, or the practitioner, sadhana, the practice, and sadhya, the object of achievement, is non-different from the Swarup of Shuddha Bhakti. When such Swarup Gyan has not arisen within a sadhaka, but the desire to cross over the ocean of material existence has come within him, then whatever symptoms of bhakti which are visible in him in that condition are merely bhakti abhas. So if someone doesn't have sambandha gyan, but still wants to go back to Godhead, that is bhakti abhas. This Bhakti Abhas transforms into Shuddha Bhakti when one obtains Swarup Gyan. Even for Vaishnavas who are duly initiated into the genuine Sampradaya, the Vastu Prabha, or illumination of one's eternal identity arising from their Diksha mantra, which they receive from their Diksha Guru, won't appear until they receive this Swarup Gyan by the mercy of a Shiksha Guru. Due to ignorance of Swarup Gyan, Swarup Siddha Bhakti remains covered, and hence only Bhakti Abhas is visible. In other words, if devotees don't read books, they just remain on the platform of Abhas. Never becomes real pure devotion. The devotion of Panchopashakas, who remain aloof from the teachings of impersonalism and perform the worship of their favorite deity by considering him to be a direct expansion of Bhagavan, and the supreme goal is also Chai Bhakti Abhas. Still, there's a great deal of difference between Panchopashaka Vaishnavas and Sampradayika Vaishnavas. The Nishtha, or firm faith of Sampradayika Vaishnavas in the personal aspect of Bhagavan, is much stronger than that of the Panchopashaka Vaishnavas. By receiving proper instruction on Tattva, a Sampradayika Vaishnava remains hopeful of reaching a very exalted stage of Shuddha Vaishnavism. But a Panchopashaka cannot be as hopeful of achieving such an exalted stage of Vaishnavism by receiving instruction on the Tattva according to their own custom. The accessibility of association of pure devotees for Sampradayika Vaishnavas is much better than it is for Panchopashakas. If by some fortune the Panchopashakas obtain the association of devotees and simultaneously keep themselves aloof from the association of impersonalists, they can then be refined by the Sampradayika system and can begin pursuing the path of Shuddha Bhakti. Two scriptural evidences mentioned in Bhakti Sandarbha being quoted here. In the Skanda Purana, it is confirmed that Sampradayika Vaishnavas achieve their desired result even by the practice of Chai Bhakti Abhas. Shri Mahadev says, Dikshamatriyana Krishnasya. Just by receiving initiation into the Krishna mantra, one can obtain mukti. So what can be said about what one can achieve by performing Bhagavad Bhakti? Regarding Panchopashakas who remain free from Pratibimba Bhakti Avas, have developed Chai Bhakti Vas, the Adivara Purana says, if one worships Ganesh for thousands of births and becomes free from all sins, then it is possible to come to the platform of Vaishnavism. The scriptural conclusion is that Shaktas, or worshippers of the goddess Durga, are gradually elevated to bhakti, either personal or impersonal, by first becoming worshippers of the sun god, then worshippers of Ganesh, then worshippers of Shiva, then Panchopashaka Vaishnavas, and finally Sampradayika Vaishnavas. By the careful analysis of the words of the scriptures, it is understood that by the influence of association with pure devotees, Chai Bhakti Abhas transforms into Shuddha Bhakti. Now this is the second type of Chai Bhakti Abhas. In the scriptures there are many examples of Bhakti, Udipaka, Vastu Shakti, Janita Bhakti Abhas. The Tulsi plant, Mahaprasada, Vaishna Prasad, the days of devotional observance such as Ekadasi, the deity of Bhagavan, the holy dams, the Ganga, the Futtasta Vaishnavas, and so on, are various objects which act as bhakti udipaka, or stimuli to bhakti. The jiva receives immense benefit even by coming into contact with these objects unknowingly. Sometimes benefit is accrued even when the innocent jiva unknowingly commits an offense to them. Coming into contact with these objects in this way is also bhakti abhas. Devotees won't be astonished upon witnessing such remarkable results of bhakti abhas. All such results are due solely to the immense power of Shuddha Bhakti. If the process of Gyan and Yoga are not executed properly, and if they are not supported by bhakti abhas, then they are incapable of granting results. On the other hand, Bhakti Devi is completely independent. Regardless of the motives of those who take shelter of her, she fulfills their inmost desires. Although all these results are visible in Bhakti Abhas, it is not the prescribed conduct. The execution of Shuddha Bhakti is our only duty. Those who desire absolute success should not in any circumstance give a place to Pratibimba Bhakti Abhas within their hearts. By the strength of bhajan performed under the guidance of pure Vaishnavas, they should cross beyond Chai Bhakti Abbas and take exclusive shelter at the lotus feet of Bhakti Devi. Therefore, all of you, kindly accept the following principle presented by Vishva Vaisha Das. Patabhimbastatachaya. Those who desire to relish Bhakti Ras should always remain aloof from both types of Bhakti Abbas. By reviewing the tattva, it is concluded that Bhakti Abbas is of two types. This Vishva Vaishnav Das is Bhakti Vinod Thakur. By reviewing the tattva, it is concluded that Bhakti Abbas is of two types, Pratibhimba Bhakti Abbas and Chai Bhakti Abbas. Pratibhimba Bhakti Abbas has a tendency to make the jiva commit offenses, while Chai Bhakti Abbas is incomplete in itself. The execution of Shuddha Bhakti is the only recommended activity of the jiva. Next, offenses towards bhakti. This is a very dangerous item. We execute so many limbs of bhakti, such as accepting the Diksha mantra from a bona fide guru, every day applying tilak to 12 different parts of the body, performing archana to Sri Krishna, observing Bhava Ekadasi, chanting Harinam and remembering Krishna according to one's ability, visiting the holy places like Vrindavan and so forth. But unfortunately, we don't try hard enough to avoid committing offenses at the feet of Bhakti Devi. Giving the example of the activities of Mukunda, Srimad Mahaprabhu highlighted to his devotees the various symptoms of offense towards bhakti. Now quoting from Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Lila. Mahaprabhu said, "I can never bestow mercy upon Mukunda because sometimes he displays his humility by taking straw between his teeth, and at other times he attacks me. In other words, he keeps one of his hands at my feet, displaying humility, and the other at my neck, attacking me. According to his own convenience, sometimes he behaves as my follower, and other times he criticizes me. Hence, I cannot reward him. Wherever he goes, seeking his own benefit, he represents himself accordingly and mixes with people. Sometimes he supports the doctrine of Mayavad by reciting from the book Yoga Vishishta, which is endowed with Advaita philosophy, and at other times he shows his faith by abandoning the impersonal concept and cultivating Krishna Bhakti by becoming meek and humble and dancing and performing kirtan. When he enters the sect of the impersonalists, he rejects the eternity of bhakti and condemns the devotees with the weapon of argument and logic. In this way, he has committed an offense at the feet of Bhakti Devi. Therefore, I cannot give him my darshan." Mukundadara is an eternal associate of the Lord, so whatever Mahaprabhu said to him in this regard is only a lila, a pastime. But Mahaprabhu's objectives are very great, so there must be an extremely confidential reason for his statements here. His confidential instruction is that we cannot please Krishna just by accepting diksha and executing the various limbs of bhakti. Only those who have unwavering faith in exclusive devotion can satisfy him. In other words, just by mechanically doing the activities, it doesn't work. You have to have unwavering faith in the limbs of bhakti. Those who have developed such faith accept the path of Shuddha Bhakti with great determination. They don't visit places where doctrines which are unrelated to Shuddha Bhakti are discussed. They go to places where the topic of Shuddha Bhakti is being discussed and they listen with great interest. Simplicity, determination, and exclusive desire for bhakti are the natural characteristics of such unalloyed devotees. They never approve of statements or activities which are opposed to the principles of bhakti merely to gain popularity. Pure devotees always remain indifferent to such things. These days, most people don't try to avoid the above-mentioned offenses. Just from seeing the devotees or hearing Bhagavad Katha, they display symptoms of apparent spiritual ecstasy, such as trembling and shedding of tears, and they support spiritual philosophy in assemblies, but afterwards they are again seen becoming mad after sense gratification. Therefore, dear readers, what can be said about the so-called nishtha of those who display these bogus sentiments? We understand that just to earn fame, they display these symptoms before the devotees. Out of greed to acquire fame or other material benefits, they display varieties of this sort of conduct. It is a matter of great sorrow that these people not only commit an offense at the feet of Bhakti Devi by propagating deceitful philosophies in the name of Bhakti, but also completely ruin the spiritual lives of the jivas of this world. Dear readers, we should remain very careful not to ever commit any offense at the feet of Bhakti Devi. First of all, we must vow to perform bhakti while remaining indifferent to all else. We must never do anything to speak anything which is contrary to bhakti, just to gain popularity or collect followers. We must remain simple and straightforward in our actions. There shouldn't be any difference between our words and our actions. We must never try to gain the favor of those who are indifferent to bhakti by displaying to them artificial symptoms of advanced devotion. We will always remain chaste to the principles of Shuddha Bhakti and will never support any other doctrine. Our external conduct and the feelings within our hearts should be one and the same. Chapter 3. Tomorrow, an analysis of the natural attributes of Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti Subhavasya. Very short book. We're two-thirds of the way through.